What's your emergency?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the PIA Podcast, a place to discuss all public information related topics for police, fire, EMS, and local and federal government organizations.
It was a good learning experience for a lot of us that social media is not real life.
But we have to remember the media are very rarely a target audience. They're simply that conduit.
Our words have impacts on individuals, and it may not be positive. So just being thoughtful and mindful of the words that we speak.
I think what's so interesting about this position too, and this job and this profession, is that every one of us is looking for purpose. And when we find it here, that's it.
To know is that a crisis for one is not necessarily a crisis for another.
Wow, here we are in 2024. This is the fourth season of the PIO Podcast. Thank you to all our previous guests over the prior three seasons. You have truly made the PIO Podcast a great success. For this year, I've already lined up some great guests. So sit back and enjoy today's guest.
Welcome to the PIO Podcast. Today on the show, we have Chief Communications Officer Alexa Boylan from the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And I truly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day. I am sure with everything that you have to do over at IMPD that you are extremely busy. So thank you again for being willing to do this. Alexa, you started out in journalism way back in 2013 as an intern at WBNG-TV in Binghamton, New York. And the only reason I know where Binghamton is because I had a friend that his daughter went to college here.
It is it's a big college town, but a small city.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that brings back a lot of memories. So yeah, I actually graduated from Syracuse, New York, which is actually about an hour north of Binghamton. Very snowy up there, very cold. So graduated school and was looking for my first on-air reporter job. People who are listening to this probably know that reporters start off going to very small markets, right? So that could be really small towns, really small cities. And I was so fortunate enough to start off in Binghamton, which was, again, about an hour away from where I went to school and about 2.5 hours from where my family was from and where I grew up in New Jersey. So started off in Binghamton, did 2 years there, and then was promoted up to the main newsroom in Syracuse. That was a really interesting time because I was living in Syracuse now as a young professional, not as a Syracuse University student. So a little bit of a different experience. And I did about another 2 years up in Syracuse, again, MMJing, so multimedia journalist. I was shooting video, doing the interviews, coming back to the newsroom, editing it, and then going on air myself. And then after about 2 years in Syracuse, I was looking to make a pretty significant jump in news markets. And that's when I came across Indianapolis. Didn't know anything about Indianapolis, didn't know anybody here. But I knew it was a pretty major news market. I knew a lot was going on here. And I was fortunate enough to get hired as a morning news reporter for Fox 59 and CBS 4.
Okay, so that's the connection to IMPD then.
And that's exactly the connection to IMPD. Isn't it funny how life works out? So I did about 4 years in that morning shift role, spent a lot of mornings covering crime, interacting with law enforcement officials. And, you know, when my time was up at Fox, I was looking just to make a little bit of a career change. I was done with waking up at 2 a.m. That was really difficult. But I knew I wanted to do something in the communications field. I knew I wanted to do something involving storytelling. And this fell into my lap. It really did. I was not looking for anything like this. And sometimes the pieces, they fall where they're supposed to.
Yeah,
and here I am. I've been here going on 3 years.
It's really interesting how you say those pieces fell into your lap, because so many times I hear from journalists that they said that, oh, I wasn't thinking about doing a PIO job. I got approached by the chief or the sheriff or an executive in the community that said, hey, we would like you to do this.
That's exactly what happened with me. Gosh, I was you know, I think a lot of journalists, or, you know, I hear from a lot of journalists, right, who are looking for that next step, looking for that next chapter. And, you know, it's really intimidating, or at least it was for me. You know, my entire background, everything I knew at that point was the news industry. And I had no idea what came next, what my identity was, right? It was very emotional. And yeah, I'm so fortunate to be approached by our assistant chief of police, Chris Bailey. We had a conversation and I said, that's what this role is? Maybe I could do that, right? A lot of the skills and everything that I've learned in news translates over. And again, I'm so fortunate to be in this position that I am now.
Awesome. All right. So before we jump into the questions, let's get some demographic or some numbers out of the way. What's the sworn versus civilian staff at the PD?
Sure. So right now we're about 1,500 in our sworn. We are hiring. Shocking. We're always looking to have more. And we're about 200 professional staff, non-sworn.
Okay. So a really decent sized department.
Yeah, I would say we have a decent amount going on.
And what's the population of Indianapolis?
It's about 900, a little over, okay, a little so less just than 900. Over a million.
Okay, so
yep, just about a million.
Okay, so you guys, staff number wise, that's not bad. Percentage wise, per thousand, that's really not all that bad.
Well, yeah, and like I said, I know every department is looking to hire more, and I know that's been a challenge. So, again, from the communication aspect of it, that's definitely something that we've been involved in, just working through what that looks like. But
right.
Yeah, it's a challenging time for all of us right now.
Absolutely. So how is your office staffed?
Sure. So obviously, I'm a civilian. I'm a professional staff. We also are so fortunate to have a videographer. This videographer actually worked with me in news, so we kind of snatched him over. He's the one that's producing a lot of our videos so that I, fortunately, don't have to do the editing and the shooting. We also have two officers and a lieutenant, who I believe you interviewed earlier in this podcast, who is the supervisor of this unit. We also potentially are looking to add a few more, including somebody that specializes in social media, because right now that kind of is underneath me, and I am not an expert by any means in that. And so we're looking to bring in somebody who knows exactly what they're doing, specifically in Instagram and TikTok, so that we can start getting our message out to younger demographics.
Right, absolutely. So talking about social media platforms, what are you guys currently utilizing?
Sure. I think everything that we can. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. We started on TikTok. We are by no means experts, but I'm in the coming year, I'm looking to expand on TikTok. And I mentioned Instagram as well. Mm-hmm. So I think basically all the social media, we use them very differently. There are things that I'm going to post on LinkedIn that I'm not going to post on Twitter. There are things I'm going to post on Twitter, now known as X, that regarding, say, crisis communication, that I'm not going to post on Facebook. So we do utilize them a little bit differently depending on the situation and what's unfolding.
Are you guys using a YouTube channel at all or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. We also have that.
Okay.
So all of our videos, thank you. See, I can't even keep track of all of it. All of our videos that we produce are also on YouTube.
Did you guys also add Threads in? As well,
you know what, we didn't. I've been monitoring it. At this point, I don't want to expand to something that's beyond our reach, right? I want to make sure, again, I think the next thing for us is TikTok, and I want to make sure if we're going to do it, we're going to do it to the best of our ability. And I just don't think Threads right now is something on our radar.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. You know, speaking of TikTok, Dallas PD does a phenomenal job with their TikTok. They have one officer that specifically does recruitment on a recruitment channel, and then they have somebody that does something on another channel. I mean, it's the work that they put out, it's really amazing.
And the funny thing is you're, like in this job especially, you have to consume a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking constantly. I would say that I consume a lot of TikTok. It's just figuring out how IMPD fits into that. what right. we want to emphasize, what we want to show off. I'm not a huge fan of dancing cops. I don't want to be putting dancing cops on our TikTok. So again, it's figuring out what our messaging is, and again, just a way to communicate with an audience that might not be on some of these other social media channels or
I think you're talking yeah. you talk about storytelling. We're going to get into your storytelling stuff in a little bit, but I think TikTok has a really the platform works very good for telling stories in short bursts. So giving a piece and then making people wait for the next piece and so on, and it really does garner that attention to draw people in for, you know, it could be 10 or 15 different segments and all talking about the same thing.
It's really digestible, right? Yeah. That's how I say it. It's kind of bite-sized pieces. And I think that works on a lot of social media. Yeah, so yeah, I totally agree. Totally.
All right. So talking about LinkedIn, I found you via LinkedIn, and I really enjoy the stuff that you put out on LinkedIn, by the way. So all of our PIOs know the value of communication, but we still run into issues with law enforcement executives who do not see the value of having the PIO in the room when decisions are being made. So can you discuss the value of having that PIO in that room? Like, obviously you would be in that room.
Yeah, and it goes back to, I've never been outside that room, right? So I can't talk about that. I'm, again, so fortunate that my chiefs understand the importance of communication. If they are having discussion about something that's going to impact our department or strategy, I need to be involved. There's actually, and it's funny because I found it on LinkedIn, there's a sign outside my office that says the PIO is going to be the first to be asked about something. Make sure they are not the last to know about something. Yep. And it's so funny. We recently put this sign up outside our office and all of our chiefs go by and they go, oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, communication in this industry is vital, right? And especially nowadays with some of the challenges we have, our community and our residents want to know what we're doing and why, right? And so making sure that our residents are educated and informed about what their police department is doing is vital. I don't think any department can't be doing that. It's what our residents expect and it's what they deserve. And so we do everything that we can to make sure that our residents know what we're doing, whether that's body-worn camera, whether that's posting it on social media directly to our consumer or our audience, or using traditional media. But it's
something just came to mind. Do you do critical incident videos about OISs or anything like that?
Yeah, we do often. We do videos regarding all critical incidents, which, as you mentioned, involve officer-involved shootings.
What's your turnaround time on those? Is there a policy time that how quickly it has to turn around?
So we don't like to pigeonhole ourselves into a turnaround time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of factors that go into that, right? Not only do we show it to our community group, we also show it to the family. You know, we show it to our chiefs so that they have time to review it. So I don't like to pigeonhole us into, we need this to be out in X amount of days. Mm-hmm. We try to do it within, you know, 30 to 60 days. But there's a lot that goes into it. And we try to educate the community because they have questions. They're saying, well, why hasn't that been released yet? Right. So these are the steps that we're going through before a video is released.
Okay. If I remember correctly, when I interviewed
Shane,
he told us that, I believe he told me this, that you guys have a community of citizens group that helps talk about what they think you're doing right, what you think you're doing wrong in the video releases. Is that correct?
Yeah. So this community group is actually something that we always do. So once a video is put together, this is again by a third party company. Actually, they're out in California. They send that back to us. And we get everybody on a virtual call just to show this community group. It's made up of various stakeholders in this community, and it's showing their video and getting feedback on it. And it's a way to also manage expectations too. Hey, what are you looking for? What questions do you have? What are things you wish you would have known? So we will not release a critical incident video without showing it to that group.
Okay. So you're sending this video and a script, I'm assuming, out to this company in California, and they turn around and they put it back, they put it together and return it to you guys. Is that correct? Am I understanding that?
Yeah, something like that. Actually, we don't send a script out at all, right?
Oh, really?
So we're sending them all of the raw video, what we have, and they produce it. That way, it's objective.
Okay.
And we're able to get that back. And we think it's really important. And again, we're paying for it, but we think it's really important for that third party who has an objective lens to put that video together in a way that makes sense to a viewer or an audience member.
Wow, that's really an interesting perspective, taking it outside of a department's hands and turning it over to a third party to put together. I mean, that's really interesting because their perspective is not always the department's perspective. They're doing it based on what they're looking at.
Absolutely. And like I already mentioned, I mean, we do have a videographer who could do that, right? But this is a choice that we've made, that our chiefs have made, that we think it is so important to have this outside agency take a look at all of the video, all the 911 calls, and put together this objective video. We then review it to make sure it's accurate, right? And all the information is there. We think it's really important for our residents to understand the context of this these videos, which is why at this point we don't release them just raw to anybody. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we think it's so important that they have an outside view and they're the ones creating this final project.
That's really interesting. That's next level. That's awesome. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
As you've already said, communicating with the community is extremely important, and we do, as a PIOs, we do a pretty good job of getting out information about incidents to the media. But aside from that, a lot of PIOs still have problems storytelling. So what is storytelling? Why is storytelling such a great way to inform the community? And talk about some of the things that you have done.
Sure. Well, storytelling, at least for me, is, you talk about your passion project, that's mine. You know, when I came into this role, I made it very clear that's what I wanted to be doing. I did not want to be churning out press releases any day. I don't think that's meaningful or challenging. I think it's important for our community to meet and understand the officers that are protecting and serving them. And that's everything that we've tried to do. So a lot of the time we do this through video. We do this through videos that we post on social media. There are videos that we've actually released to the media. But we have a few different series. One of them is called the Before the Badge, which is very similar to something that you would actually see on your local news. I do an on-camera portion of it, and then we speak to and interview officers to find out how they got into law enforcement. What did that journey look like for him or her? And we've had some wild stories. I mean, it's really, really interesting. One of my favorites is one of our officers was a Disney princess before she joined law enforcement. We've had people that have worked in education, have been teachers. We've had mechanics, military. I mean, you name it, we probably have it. But we think it's really important for the community to see past just a uniform, and to understand that our officers have lives, our officers have emotions, and it's just another way of getting our community to not only, you know, but to really understand where these officers are coming from and some of the challenges they see every day.
And I think that would be a fairly decent recruiting tool as well, having the officers talking about where they came from so that somebody, you know, maybe they didn't feel that they were going to be a fit in. And here you have a Disney princess. I mean, that doesn't happen every day.
It doesn't. You're absolutely right. I think it's important for, you know, people to see, you know, the paths on how somebody got and found themselves in law enforcement. I always find really fascinating, right? I started off in news reporting. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that I'd be working for a police department in the communications sector. So I think people just like hearing a good story. And I think they're interested in knowing, again, who's protecting them.
Absolutely.
So it's been really beneficial.
And it certainly shows a very human side of the officer and makes them feel approachable, I would think, especially, you know, if somebody sees them out on the street, they may be more willing to talk to them about that video and open up.
Absolutely. We've had that over and over again, saying, hey, I saw you in this video. I loved that. Talk to me about what it was like when you were a teacher, you know, that kind of thing.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So you already brought up Before the Badge. Are there any other projects that are that you guys do that's storytelling?
Yeah. So we do an officer spotlight video as well. That's another monthly video where it's just, hey, tell me about your job. Tell me about what you do. Again, how you got into this role. So that's another one. That's a monthly one that we are posting again on YouTube and various social media sites. We do have a Sworn to Serve video series as well. We try to do it monthly, but sometimes that one's a little bit more challenging, and that one consists of body-worn camera. And I think people are always so interested to see this, and we find different scenarios that showcase some of the great work that our officers are doing, and we put it out there. And multiple times we've put a Sworn to Serve out there, and local media has picked it up as
well. Of course.
Saying, that is so cool.
Video is gold.
Yeah, that is so cool. Can we talk to that officer?
Exactly.
So that's been really cool to see as well.
And a great way to highlight what people are doing without really actually kind of highlighting it. You're just, you know, that's kind of a neat way of doing it. So how have you gotten the officers buy-in to be willing to do those videos?
I'm very persuasive. I think every officer who I call initially and I say, hey, I'd love to do this video with you. They go, absolutely not. I'm sure a lot of PIOs have that, right? I think a lot of communication professionals have that. I think it's about having this conversation with them and talking to them and explaining the benefits of why we need to do this and why we need to tell our story. I make it very clear that if we don't tell our own story, somebody else is going to do it for us. And we might not like how that turned out. That is why it's so important. And this goes back to like our greater communication strategy here at IMPD, which is, you know, our audience is our community, right? Our audience, our demographic is our residents. That's who we think about constantly when we're putting out different communication, not traditional media. And I think that's a little different than what some other agencies around the country have done. But it's getting that buy-in.
Yeah. The reporter that I made friends with many years ago up here, who actually helped my daughter get into the field, once said that we are supposed to be the reporters are supposed to be the mirrors of society. In other words, they're just projecting back what's already out there. And I think that's an interesting thing from just the law enforcement. We're showing what we're doing and what's there. And I think that's good for the community to see.
I agree with you 100%.
All right. So what is effective messaging? Or I should say, why is effective messaging so important for the PIO or communications from their perspective?
Sure. I think it goes back to, you know, similar to what I just said before is we need to be the ones controlling our messaging and our storytelling out there. Because if you aren't controlling it, somebody else will. And they're going to be louder and they're going to get the interest and attention of media folks and of others in the community. You know, there have been, you know, discussions in our office. What does effective communication look like, right? What is an effective social media post? Some of it is just trial and error, right? There have been things that I've posted and put out there thinking, no one's going to follow up on this. Nobody's going to, you know, take notice of it. But, and then it blows up and, you know, it's surprising. So I think it's just figuring out who your audience is, what your community is about, and also what's important to them. But there's going to be some surprises along the way. And, you know, always there's going to be some challenges along the way. And we're continuing to learn here each and every day.
So are you doing, I'm excuse me, do you have software like the sentiment software, that kind of stuff, that maybe through City Hall that you can see what your posts do?
No, I mean, I'm just looking at like the basic analytics. Okay. I'm by no far an expert when it comes to this. We're looking into potentially getting some software so that we can understand better how our posts are doing, who they're impacting, and again, if they're successful.
Right.
But I think we could just tell it organically.
Absolutely. I agree. I've never been a big fan of the sentiment software because it's really subjective based on who's online at the time, and sometimes it's way off.
And who's the loudest, right?
Exactly.
So I think if you're consuming news and social media every day, which I am, you have a pretty good idea of what the pulse of the community is.
Absolutely.
And you should. That's my job.
Absolutely. So is there a question I should have asked? And if so, how would you have answered it?
You know, I think I'm in a lot of different groups related to those who were in TV in the past who are really looking for their next job opportunity. I think, you know, just my message to them would be go for it. I think a lot of former TV newsies don't necessarily see themselves in the PIO communication realm with law enforcement. But for me, at least, that's all I can speak about. It has been an amazing experience, one where a lot of the skills I had and things that I loved about news just translate over. And it's been an amazing experience. So I would tell them to go get it, because I know sometimes we all hesitate about what that next opportunity is. But
it also gives you that kind of degree of security, too, because in your field, in the news field, 1, 2, 3 years and you're going to the next position where now you find a job that now you're going to be there for, you'd be there for 10, 20 years.
It's true. I fell in love with the city while news reporting, and you know, I'm so fortunate enough to be here and just giving back in a different way. That's how I look at it.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Rapid fire questions. You ready?
Oh gosh.
Texting or talking?
Texting. However, I've learned in this job, sometimes you just need to pick up the phone.
Very true. Clarity is sometimes a better, a text is not very clear. No. Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Adult drink of choice?
Either vodka soda or a glass of white wine.
What would be your superpower if you could have one?
Invisibility. Sometimes I just want to know what's going on. That's the journalist in me. I just want to know what people are talking about.
Ask permission or beg for forgiveness?
Beg for forgiveness. Always.
Communications person's way. It is. Place you most want to travel to?
Oh, gosh. I think next on our list might be Cape Town or New Zealand.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. First celebrity crush?
I had to think about this one. My high school days consisted of the OC, so I would say Benjamin McKenzie.
Okay. Guilty pleasure food?
Pasta.
Who would you choose if you could have coffee with any historical figure, living or dead?
My husband and I are really into Hamilton. Like, really into Hamilton. I've seen it way too many times.
Great story.
I just have a lot of questions for him. So I'm going to have to go with Alexander Hamilton.
He would be an interesting interview.
I agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely would open some eyes for a lot of people if they knew some of the inside stuff on him.
I'm sure.
Alexa, final thoughts. What key points would you like the listeners to take from our interview today?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think it comes back to just consuming as much as you can, and also connecting with other PIOs, right? I've been so lucky in this role to connect with other law enforcement communicators from state police, or whether it's various nearby cities or towns. And just having that network is so important.
Absolutely.
Right? Because when you're in the middle of something, when you're in the middle of that crisis, sometimes we don't necessarily think clearly, right? And just having someone you can call no matter what time or day and say, am I onto something here, is invaluable.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I appreciate you reaching out and thank you for this opportunity.
How can people best reach out to you if they want to connect or learn more?
Sure. You can reach out to me on Twitter or LinkedIn, Alexa Boylan Media.
I will add all those into the show notes so people will be able to find you. Alexa, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
That's all for this week. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get notified of the latest episode. If you are listening on a platform that allows reviews, please give us a review. We appreciate any review, good or bad. It helps us improve on each episode. Until next time, be safe.